Hey, how you guys doing today? That bad, huh? Good morning. Y'all doing okay? It's an awesome Sunday. Let me just say my heart for us this morning and as we can encounter God. And I think we did that in worship, didn't we? I did. It was awesome. And we can walk out of here encouraged. And so today I want you to walk out encouraged that if you need a restart in your relationships, that'll happen. That's my prayer for you. That's been my prayer all week. And I'm glad that you guys are here. If it's your first time, my name's Todd. I'm the pastor. Welcome. Thank you for coming. We really enjoy having you. We exist to reach people and build lives. And my heart is for everybody that comes. They really do encounter God, leave encouraged, because we're a church that just really believes that everybody needs to be touched by God. Because once you are, it's awesome. And if you are a guest, we just ask, fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. That gives us an opportunity to connect with you. That gives you an opportunity to connect with us if you like. And we'll send you something cool in the mail. You can put it in the basket at the end of service when it comes by. Also, if you're wanting to get connected and either develop your relationship further with God or get connected to the church, Grow, our growth track is the place for you. That happens right at the end of this service today. It's in the old theater room, which is our old sanctuary, which is right back here. There's signs, food, child cares provided for, lasts about an hour. It's good to have you all this morning, and it's going to be a good Sunday morning, isn't it? Yes, it will. Thank you. That's better. Man, we sang that last refrain, let heaven come. You know, when Jesus was asked by his disciples, how should we pray? He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, I just firmly believe that prayer is for us today, because I want some people to have relationships here, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's with a friend or a family member, that your relationships reflect heaven, even though we're on earth. And I think sometimes we forget that Jesus said we should pray, your kingdom come, just like it is in heaven right here on earth. That's a big deal, because the truth is we've probably all been in a place of hell in relationships before at some point, right? Yes? Man, God's heart for us is that we have healthy and whole relationships. That's why today is all about restarting in our relationships. I cannot help, though, but recognize how important in getting to the place of healthy relationships and restarting our relationships that we understand who we are. Identity is a huge thing, because until you recognize that you are forgiven, that you are loved, that God knows you, that he loves you, then until you get to that place where you can receive his forgiveness, to get to the place where you know that he loves you and that you're not a mistake or a loser when your identity is found in Christ and you have a healthy understanding of who you are and how he made you, until you get to that place, you'll probably always struggle with relationships. Because there's a confidence that comes when we know who we are. I am God's son. I'm God's daughter. I am forgiven. I'm set free. I'm not going to be held back by the junk of my past. I'm not going to allow others to define me. I'm going to be defined by God. Until we come to the place of knowing who we are, we'll never really get to the place of healthy relationships. And so if you haven't heard in the series, this is 6 parts. The second part was identity. If you haven't heard the series on identity, go back. Go back and listen to that. And really, if you want to understand identity, read the book of 1 Samuel in the Bible. That's where we're out of today, and it's such a great, great book. And I want us to understand what it means to really restart in our relationships. And I think a lot of times, you know, we want something to change in our relationships. And so, and we look at the people that we're in relationship with, and we go, well, if they just change this, if they just do this, if they just get their stuff together, if they stop messing around, like maybe we can make something out of this relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. You know, like the marriage is a mess because of it, and look at what they're doing, and can't you see? Or the wayward son or daughter, or the mother or father, or the friend. We always want to focus on someone else. That's kind of our tendency, isn't it? I'm just going to tell you, because y'all call me up and you text me and you send messages and my assistant calls me and I set up meetings, and then, well, if they just change their this and this and this, and they have, people have like bucket lists of like, this would make a great relationship. Come on, y'all never done that? Anybody up in here married or has been married? You know what I'm talking about, the lists? Well, if they just fix that, hold on, let me write that down. But the truth is, we need to be focusing on ourselves, but it's easy to not, isn't it? Reminds me of the story of the old man. He was married. His wife was elderly as well. And he was convinced that a lot of the problems they were having was simply because her hearing was bad. She couldn't hear him. And so he was concerned, but she just kept foo-fooing him and would not go see a doctor. And so he decided he was going to go to the doctor for her. So he went to the doctor and he said, "Doc, listen, you got to help. Like, my marriage is falling apart. And like, it's because like, she won't come and see you because she's hard of hearing and she just won't admit it." And he says, "Well, really, I kind of need her here, but like maybe you can give me an idea of like how hard of hearing she is." He's like, "Well, I don't know how I'm going to do that, Doc." And the doctor says to him, he says, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to go home, and I want you to get about 40 feet away. Now, don't let her know what's going on, but I want you to be about 40 feet away and just in a conversational tone, talk to her and see if she can hear you. And if she can't, then just nonchalantly move about 10 feet closer and about 30 feet, try again, and then she still doesn't hear you, 20 feet, she still can't hear you, 10 feet, and just see how close you have to be for her to hear you." He said, "Then I'll have an idea of like maybe what her problem is, maybe we can rectify this issue." And the old man said, I think I can do that. So he goes home and he doesn't tell his wife where he's been or what he's been up to. And later that evening, she's in the kitchen and she's cooking supper. And so he sits down in his chair all the way across the house in the living room, and he can see all the way into the kitchen. And he's thinking to himself, it's about 40 feet. So in a conversational tone, he says to his wife, he said, "Hey, baby, is dinner ready?" Nothing. She doesn't move. She doesn't say nothing. He's like, okay. He gets up and goes 10 feet closer, 30 feet. Hey, dear, are you still cooking dinner or is it done? Nothing. He's like, man, she's pretty bad. So he goes 20 feet. "Hey, baby, are we about ready to eat?" No response, nothing. He's thinking, man, she's worse than I thought. 10 feet away, now he's 10 feet. He says, hey babe, and it's even a little louder. Hey babe, I just wanted to know if we're ready to eat yet. You need me to get the plates?" And she didn't respond. So now he's kind of a little disheartened. And he gets really close to her and says, "Baby, I was just saying, is supper ready?" And she turns to him and says, "I've told you 5 times, I'm almost done." Let me just say, some of y'all, you're going, we need this message on restarting in our relationships because they need to get their stuff together. The truth is that it always begins with us. Always begins with us. You know, we live in such a society that is so health-focused on ourselves, and yet somehow we miss it in relationships. I mean, we've got the doctors on TV, you got herbal supplements, you've got, some of the things, the CrossFit, man, you've got to do CrossFit, it's like a religion almost, it's good for you, but man, I'm going to get better and stronger and faster. People are doing Spartan races, good stuff, like they're focused on getting healthy, people want to go on American Ninja Warrior, y'all know what I'm talking about, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't y'all love to see me on American Ninja Warrior? It'd be really entertaining for about 0.3 seconds. Here's the fact that research shows that people who have strong relational ties are overall much healthier. They have lower stress levels, they have better mental health, longer life. In fact, we see that the Alameda County, which is in Northern California, they did a 9-year study of over 7,000 people. It was headed by a well-known Harvard scientist. And they said that the most isolated people were 3 times more likely to die than those with strong relational connections. Pretty powerful, isn't it? People who had bad habits in that group, such as smoking, poor diet, overweight, drank excessively, but they had strong social ties, they lived much longer than those who were healthy but isolated. Some of y'all are saying, "Well, that's good to know, Pastor. Thank you for that." I think you're missing the point. Robert Putnam, another Harvard researcher, he discovered that if you belong to no groups but you decide to join one, you dramatically cut your risk of dying early. Pretty impressive, isn't it? The American Medical Association did a study where they injected 276 people with the common cold. But those who were in strong relationships, they did 4 times better combating the illness than those who were isolated. Why is that? Why is all this stuff showing the difference between strong relationships and those who are isolated and how unhealthy it is to be isolated? And here's why. Because God created us never to be isolated. Can I just say, we are better together. We are social creatures. That's how God made us. I mean, he looked at Adam when he created Adam and said, it is not, again, this is in the perfection of the Garden of Eden, before there was sin, it is not good for man to be alone. And he created someone who could help. We are not created to be isolated. We are created to be joined together with people who love us and we love them. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 12 says this, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." It's better to be in strong relationships. Why? Because you can help others and others can help you. But a lot of people shy away from relationships and they live isolated lives by choice. But it's not, I really just don't believe it's a healthy choice, because one of two things typically, they've been burned in relationship, they've been done wrong legitimately, and so they're hesitant to get back into relationship. That's one reason. The other reason is they find that they've just never really had traction in being able to build a healthy relationship. But my heart for you today is that you recognize that we need healthy relationships. Healthy relationships bring health to us overall, and it's part of how God designed us to work together with people around us. Do we really recognize that we need healthy relationships? And if so, are we actively working towards that? Why do people stay isolated? Why do people shy away? Well, sure, yeah, they've been hurt. But at the root of that, and here's the thing, everybody will be hurt in relationship, period. If you get into a relationship, you will get hurt. It's just a fact of life. Sometimes you'll get hurt because of the terrible thing that somebody does to you. Sometimes you'll get hurt because that person passes on, and that's painful. And the tactic of the enemy is always to isolate us. It's Proverbs 18:1 that says, "He who isolates himself quarrels against all sound wisdom and seeks his own desire." But we've probably at some point in our life fallen prey to that. I just don't need anybody. Forget everybody else because they've just done me wrong. And if you're in that spot, let me just say that you need to understand the single most important foundation stone of restarting in relationships. It is forgiveness. It is forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, we see Paul writes this, "Instead, be kind to each other." Instead of what? Instead of holding on to wrongs, instead of filling your heart with a frustration that can turn to a hatred and a bitterness over time, instead of that, be kind to each other. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. We're called to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving because we recognize how much we've been forgiven. Paul said this. He said, "I'm the worst, the chief of all sinners." And I kind of feel like I've been there myself. I know what I've said. I know what I've thought. I know what I've done. And if I'm not careful, that stuff will just maim me because I allow it to name me. Anybody here been named? Maybe by no one else, but maybe it's just that thing in your head. Maybe it is somebody else, but maybe and nobody's said stuff that really stuck big time to me more than me. Anybody else like that? Your own worst critic? Let me tell you, that'll keep you from the purpose and plan of God in your life if you hate on yourself. And today we're going to look at relationships. We're looking at the relationship of Jonathan and David, just a healthy relationship. But Jonathan, who was a prince, his father was the first king of Israel, Saul. Saul was ultimately rejected by God, and it was because he thought so little of himself. If you read the Bible and if you've studied 1 Samuel, I grew up being taught that, well, it's because Saul was so proud that he disobeyed God. I actually don't believe that. I think that Saul was so insecure as a man and the calling of God that he had on his life that he took things into his own control to try and figure him out because he didn't trust God. He wasn't secure enough in that relation, didn't understand who he was. In fact, ultimately, when he is rebuked by God, it's not in my notes, it's in 1 Samuel. And interestingly, I'm actually studying 1 Samuel personally in my personal devotion. It doesn't always correlate with what I'm speaking on to you guys, but the book does. And I read this. This is how God rebuked him and ultimately rejected him as king. He says, "Although you may think little of yourself are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? He thought so little of himself. And if you go back and look at the life of Saul, you kind of see how that, even in his initial calling and then being established as king, he always thought that he wasn't worthy. We got to know who we are. And when we recognize that we're forgiven, it becomes easy to forgive others. It becomes easier to forgive others. How about that? Because it's still an act of the will, not a feeling. Remember that. Forgiveness, I want to define it. Here it is, giving up resentment against someone. Are you willing to give up resentment against someone and surrendering your right to retaliate no matter what the other person did? If you still want them to pay, you're probably dealing with unforgiveness. Here is unforgiveness, a deliberate, willful refusal to give up resentment or an insistence that someone pay for a wrong that was committed. If you want a healthy restart in your relationships, it begins with forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and it's something that you extend to others and you say, even though you may feel all these terrible feelings because you know it's the right thing to do, you say, I forgive them. I forgive them. And you choose it in spite of your feelings. And you say, I release them from the wrong. I'm not going to make them pay. That's so hard. It's so hard, but it's so foundational, because when you do what you know is the right thing to do, eventually the right feelings follow. But if you are led by your feelings, you will almost never get to the right place. Our feelings are great data, and we should take them into account, but they should never be the end all of how we make decisions. God's word should be the end all of how we make decisions. We should be forgiving, because Christ forgave us. Anybody here ever feel like, man, I could be like the chief of all sinners? I know that I can. I can feel that way. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your forgiveness. It makes it easier to extend it to others. So let's look at the life of Jonathan and David. 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. And before we get into reading that, remember, Jonathan was the heir apparent. He was the prince, the son of the king, the first king of Israel, Saul. But as God rejected Saul, he anointed David to be the next king. Jonathan knew this. Let's read this passage of scripture. First Samuel, 18, verses 1 through 4. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. And there was an immediate bond between them. For Jonathan loved David. This is right after, by the way, David kills Goliath. And from that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. And Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David together with his tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. In this passage of scripture, I think we really see three ways that we can build, or really rebuild maybe, healthy relationships. Number one, here it is. Focus on people's potential. Focus on people's potential. It is very easy to fall into the trap of viewing people from where they've been or where they are. David was a kid from nowhere. Nobody even knew who he was when he went to fight Goliath. They were looking at each other, the king and the commander of the army, going, who is this kid? We don't even know. David had come from a small family way out in the country, and he was a shepherd boy. And yet Jonathan never allowed the past of where David came from, insignificance, to affect the relationship that he had. But he also saw that there was a call of God and God's hand and an anointing of God. And literally, the prophet of God poured oil over David and said he'd be the next king. Ultimately, if you read through 1 Samuel, the current king, Saul, goes after David to kill him. But Jonathan always stays faithful to his friend, David. He was never intimidated by the greatness that was in David. How do you view people? Do you look at them through the lens of potential, or do you look at them through the lens of where they've been or where they are right now? Because if you're looking at people through the lens of where they've been or where they are, let me just say, it is easy to find fault in that, isn't it? Man, you should write this down. It is the best Christian book I've ever read, and I'm just going to make a disclaimer. I do read Christian books, but usually by the third chapter, you've got everything you're going to get out of the book. A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards is one of my favorite books of all time. And it talks about the relationship between the first king, Saul, and David. And in it, there's a quote that's just stuck with me. And it says, "The ability to see fault is a very cheap gift indeed." The ability for you to see the flaws and the faults of other people, what everybody sees that. We can all see faults and flaws pretty easily, can't we? Y'all ever been to a movie and at the end of the movie you're like, well, it was all right, but if they'd have done this, and if this person had done this, and the screenplay was wrong, and the score was wrong, and any critics on movies? Come on, be honest. You lie, you fry, you're in church. How about the armchair quarterbacks? Come Monday morning after you've watched the football game, or Sunday morning with LSU, and you're like, come on, man, why didn't they do this? Why? Have y'all ever done that? Come on. Isn't it easy to be critical? Is it? I mean, everybody's a critic. That's easy. That's a cheap gift. And if we're not careful, and let me just remind you that we live in a world that is unbelievably critical. I mean, there's trolls everywhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all that are connected to the internet. Y'all know? Isn't it easy to find negativity online? All you got to do is scroll through Facebook. Come on. It's one of two things. Everything's perfect. You lie. I know you. You're going through junk. Don't be lying. It's as bad as being, or it's haters. I just can't. I don't know. Man, that stuff messes me. I have a Facebook. I don't get on Facebook for that reason. I can't stand the lies and I can't stand the haters. Is it just me or do y'all hate the haters? Everybody's, I'm like, come on. Now, I know that's oxymoronic. I recognize the irony there. It is very easy to fall into the trap of being critical, though, isn't it? Why don't we focus on people's potential? Don't be intimidated by the greatness of the people around you if you see it. Because those trolls, those haters, they just want to rip. Anybody that's trying to do anything, they'll rip them down. Let me tell you, God will put, like he did Jonathan and David, he'll put people together, and it is your responsibility to see people through the lens of their God story, not where they've been. Or where they are, and to look at them through the lens of potential. I believe the best about this person. If you fall into the trap of looking at every fault and flaw, man, you're just gonna pick that person apart. You're gonna pick the relationship to death because all you'll see is the negative. If you focus on the potential and what's inside of them, here's the worst that'll happen. You're gonna see so much good in them and so much for them that you'll believe bigger things from them and you may put them in a situation that they're not ready for yet. Regardless, it's much better for them and for you to be in a place where you're believing the best about them. Let me remind you that a restart in your relationships begins with you and your perspective on the people in your life that you're in conflict or that you're separated from. Begins with you. How do you view that person? That's number one. Here's the second thing. Wait for words of honor. 1 Samuel 20, verse 4. So Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you desire, you yourself desire, I'll do it for you." Are you willing to wait until you are speaking words that bring life and value? Are you willing to speak words that sacrifice yourself for the other person? Are you going to wait for words of honor? Or are you just going to say whatever you want to say or nothing at all?
Oh, Pastor, you don't understand, man. Like, I'd take a bullet for my wife. Come on.
Yeah, but like, will you take out the trash, please? Like, would you wait and like until you can like think about something before you let it just come right out of your mouth? Because that was stupid and hurtful. Ladies, you don't understand. I take care of the kids. I take care of the house. I take care of the cooking. I take care of you and the bills and the car. Yeah, but can you just take a little time to show some respect in how you speak to your husband, even if he's not worthy of that respect, at least not in your eyes? Are you willing to wait for words of honor? The Bible says in Proverbs, says the right word spoken at the right time is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And that sounds a little weird, honestly. An apple of gold in a setting of silver. And we're like, what is that? You know, I'm not exactly sure, but I do know this. If somebody brought up here an apple that was made of gold in a setting of silver, I'd be pretty excited about that. Wouldn't you? Because that thing probably going to weigh a few pounds and at like $1,600 an ounce for gold. Everybody would like that, wouldn't they? No? Y'all wouldn't? That's like 16 times 16. Am I going to have to break out the calculator, figure out how much that is? Tens of thousands of dollars. Would anybody here like tens of thousands of dollars today? We just turned into The Price is Right. Woo, Everett. No, we're not handing that out. I love y'all. No. Value. Value. Do your words bring value to the other person? Does it add something? Is it something beautiful that's being spoken? You want to restart in your relationship? You better focus on the good things and the call of God and the potential in the other person. Whether it's a mate, whether it's a family member, a mother or a father that you're at odds with, or brother, sister, you better see the potential in them, not view them through their faults. You better wait to speak. Listen, that's me. Like, I've never really struggled to be able to find the right words at the right time and the wrong way to tell you what you need to be told to put you in your place. People say it's the gift of gab. I've seldom walked away from a confrontation with someone and walked away and went, man, if I'd have just said this, it really would have put it rightly. I've been the guy that walks away and goes, I cannot believe I said that. My wife's like, I can't believe you said that either. You shouldn't have said that. You should have been quiet. God, no. For people who are like me, remain quiet and speak only when you know it's going to bring value and life to the other person. Some of you, you're the opposite, though. You seldom speak. When you know that something should be said and it's going to bring honor, it's going to bring value, it's going to bring life, please speak up. People need to hear your voice. It could be the very thing that brings healing to a broken person in a relationship that needs mending. The third thing, pour into the people you love. If we look at Jonathan particularly, he saw the potential in David. He didn't focus on the past or even the present. He saw what God was going to use David to do. He wasn't intimidated by it, and he made it his life's mission to be a good friend to him. He honored him at every opportunity, and then he poured into David because God had put something in them. Look at this in 1 Samuel 18, verse 4, that there was a pact that God knit their hearts together. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David together with his tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. At the core of a healthy relationship and a restart in relationships that aren't healthy is for you to get to the place where you're giving, not taking. And we see what Jonathan gave to David. What did he give him? He gave him his robe. Now remember, Jonathan was a prince, and he was readily identified in this time period, in this culture, by the outer garment that he wore, his robe. What did he give? The very first thing he gave to David was his robe. And he said to David, by putting that on David, because God had knit their hearts together, he said, I'm giving you this robe. He said to everyone around him, and in particular David, he said, you are part of my family. And at some point, we have to recognize that the friends that we have are the family that we choose. And we better be willing to identify with them and to take the thing that covers us in honor, that is our identity, and give that to somebody else. The second thing that he took off was his tunic. It was everyday garments. It was everyday wear. It was what he was wearing under his robe, but it was his outer clothing. It was like my shirt and my pants. That'd be like me giving my shirt and my pants to somebody. What does that say? Well, it says you're kind of weird, Pastor. Yeah, maybe in today's culture, absolutely. But in this culture, it spoke, I will always cover you. I'll always cover you. I will be there to make sure that there's no shame. I'm going to be there to cover you. The next thing that Jonathan gave to David was his sword. It's an offensive weapon used to defeat the enemy. And what is he saying to David? He's saying, I am going to fight for you. It was a commitment to fight for David. Are you willing to do that in the relationships that you need a restart in? Are you willing to give of yourself and say, your family, like, we're not going to let this thing go because, like, it's too important. You know, kind of hard to divorce from a parent, isn't it? And we can say, a parent can even say, I disown you. You can say, I disown a parent, but like, really, seriously? Come on, you're never going to change the fact that they're parent. But the truth is this, in our relationships, we can choose family. Gave him his robe, gave him his tunic, gave him his sword, saying, I will always fight for you. Are you going to cover and fight and identify as family the people that you are at odds with that you need to restart in relationship? The next one, he gave him his bow. Jonathan gives David his bow that says, I'm going to make sure that you're always provided for. That bow was though an offensive weapon in battle, it was most often used to hunt game. And Jonathan is giving this to him, say, I'm going to make sure that you're always provided for. Are you willing to go the extra mile to make sure that the person that God's put in your life, that you're going to do whatever you can to help meet their needs? That's why when we look back at 1 Samuel 20, we read earlier, where Jonathan says, I'll do whatever I can for you. That was that covenant of that bow. And then the last thing, as we wrap up, the belt. That is what held everything together. Are you willing to hold everything together for the people that God's placed in your life? And here's what I want you to get, and this is the revelation that God gave me. And it's so important for healthy relationships, and it's so important for restarting in a relationship that's gone bad. Jonathan gave him his robe. Jonathan gave him his tunic. He gave him his sword. He gave him his bow. He gave him his belt. The only thing that Jonathan was wearing at that point was undergarments. That if you know in Jewish tradition, they were prayer coverings. He stood there in front of David and probably a lot of other people. He stood there completely exposed and vulnerable. And until you were willing to get to the place where you were able to take off everything else that's keeping you from true vulnerability, you'll never get to the place of healing in your relationships. And it begins with you. It doesn't begin with you waiting for the other person to meet your list of demands. In fact, when you do that, when you write out, oh, here's my list of demands, here's what you're saying. I need you to do this, and when you do this, I'll take that relationship back. But let me just remind you that God's not called us to be takers in relationship. In fact, we all hate takers in relationship. That's a life sucker. That's a victim mentality. It's messed up. Guess what God's called us to be instead of a taker? A giver. And when Jonathan recognized the relationship that he was in was a God relationship, he gave. He gave over and over and over to his own hurt because he knew it was a God thing. And some of you here, you need to realize, and this is in your notes, that it is foundationally important for you if you want to have a healthy relationship to see a restart, whether it's a marriage or a relationship with an immediate family member or a friend, you have to be a giver and not a taker. And the last thing, make deposits, not just withdrawals. What are you pouring into the people that you love? What are you pouring into the people that you love? Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you just know that this message was for you, and there's some relationships in your life that just, they're in need of a restart. If you're here and that is you, that you know, there's relationships in my life that I know this message was for me because there needs to be a restart in these relationships. If that's you, right where you are, I want to pray for you. If that's where you are, just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, this message was for me. I know I need it. Hands all over. You can put them down. Healthy relationships begin with a right relationship with the one who created us. There's a God in heaven. He knows us. He loves us. He loves us so much that he came as more than himself. He gave us his son, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to take away the curse of sin in our lives. We are a cursed world. Everybody wants healthy relationships. Everybody wants to do the right thing. just can't seem to do it all the time. It's because there's a curse of sin in this world. But Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, he took that curse for you. He took that curse for me. And we come to God and we say, Lord, I believe. I believe in you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for my sin so that curse is broken over me. I choose you. I'm yours. That is a moment of conversion. It is a moment of deliverance. It is a moment of salvation. And some of you today, you need that. If you're here right where you are, I just want to say, Pastor, I know I need that. I won't embarrass you, but I just want to pray for you right where you are. Say that, Pastor, that's me. Just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you back here. I see you. Can we all pray out loud together, just all of us? Let's say, Dear God, I surrender all to you. I give you my life. I turn from my sin. I turn from my mess. I turn to you. God, I do believe in you. I surrender my life to you. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. I serve you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, isn't that awesome? We got tons of people restarting in their relationship, people starting fresh in their walk with God. Can we clap for that? It never ceases to amaze me. It never ceases to amaze me. It just feels like God's really good. Y'all know that? Really good. We're about to receive offering. You guys can get ready for that. I just want to, three things. Number one, right after service today, grow. Man, if you want to grow, you want to get connected in your walk with God, you want to get connected to the church, get in a growth track. It's grow. It's right after the service, food, childcare provided. The next thing is, I know Restart ends this week. Next week, I'm preaching a message on maintaining spiritual momentum. Then the week after that, we're starting a four-part series called It Is Written. It's about